The Awesomely Awkward Adventures of Super Pizza, Chapter 2. When I was 7, I begged my dad to let me go to school. Hey there, Sparky. I'm not so sure about that. I'm thinking that they'll probably tease you, he warned. No, they won't. I'll make friends, I told him. They'll call you weird. They'll think you're a freak. I mean, they're used to having pizza for lunch, not for classmates. I bet if I'm nice enough, they'll probably be nice to me, I told him. Besides, you could get hurt with that, you know, thin crust shell. Maybe if you were a deep dish. Dad, deep dish pizzas aren't even pizza. It's too dangerous, Tony. He shook his head and asked me if I wanted to watch Bob Ross. I didn't. So I kept going for it. I would beg him week after week after week. And then finally, he let up and he signed me up for school. Now, I spent all night rearranging my backpack and imagining what it would be like to make new friends. I say new friends, but it's not like I had any old friends. I didn't have any friends at all. When you're a slice of pizza on a house on a hill outside of town, you don't exactly get a chance to be social. And that's what I was worried about. So that night, I imagined myself being invited to birthday parties or baseball games. Maybe I could even join the soccer team. I could be a goalie and use my pliable, sticky hands to block shots. Eventually, the next day arrived. And I showed up to class nervous, but excited. This was my day. Be careful there. You have a very fragile crust. Yes, I know, I interrupted him. And stay away from the pineapple. I know. Pineapple doesn't belong on pizza. I'd heard this all my life. Minutes later, I arrived to my class. My teacher was friendly enough, but she made a huge mistake at the very beginning. She called me by my real name. Is there a pizza? I didn't say anything. Hello, is there a pizza here? It's Tony, I said. Yeah, but on the attendance sheet, it says your name is Pizza. I go by my middle name, which is Tony. Okay, then I'll call you Tony. But I am curious, why did your parents name you Pizza Tony? Parent, I corrected her. I live with just my dad, I stammered. I could feel the grease forming in my pizza pits. I was already nervous. But I was named after where I was made, at Pizza Tony's on 7th Street. And then I came to life when my dad dropped me in some kind of radioactive ooze. And yeah, that's... I couldn't complete the sentence. I didn't even know how to explain my entire backstory. Awkward silence settled in. All eyes remained fixed on me. Well, Pizza Tony, it's a unique name, she said with a smile. I think it's great, but because you want to be called Tony, we will call you Tony. It was too late. Everybody in class called me Pizza. A few kids called me Pizza Tony, but it was pretty much Pizza. Right after silent reading, we got into groups. Madison Addison Zorkowski pushed her chair away from me and plugged her nose. You smell like pepperoni. Thank you, I answered. That's not a compliment. Maybe you need some deodorant. That's when I got nervous and cut the cheese, literally. See, when I fart, it smells like cheese. Not stinky cheese, not gross cheese. It smells nice, like a nice, soft, smooth, milky cheese. A good fragrance for a classroom. Or so I thought. But everyone laughed at me, and I got more nervous, and I farted again. Just like that. Later, when we worked on a poster, Austin Jones told me to stand further away so that I wouldn't get my greasy hands on the poster board. But at that point, I got excited about an idea, a really cool idea for our poster, and I knew exactly what we needed, and I touched it, and it left a giant greasy handprint right in the middle of the poster board. in PE when the substitute teacher was asking for the boys to line up on one side and the girls to line up on the other side, Kyle Smith pushed me away and said, "This line is for boys, not pizzas." I had to stand in a line of one, which is not even a line. Then we played this old school game called Red Rover, and I'm pretty sure it's been like outlawed all over North America. It's this game where you hold hands and you yell Red Rover and someone runs across and has to break the line of hands. And I can see why it's outlawed right now. Probably some broken bones. But the problem with this was nobody would hold my hand. So we lost easily. And that was probably for the best. I'd never really tested how much force my arms could handle. I mean, they're made out of cheese, so they can't be that strong, right? Next was dodgeball, which I couldn't play because my dad told me to avoid anything that might crack my fragile crust, and I'm thinking having a giant ball thrown at it might be in that category of breakable. At lunchtime, every seat was taken. I wandered around the cafeteria hoping someone would invite me to their table, but it never happened. Finally, I slid up against the wall and opened my jar of ranch dressing and just started guzzling it mindlessly. The first day of school was awful, and it was turning out way worse than I thought. But then something happened. "Hey, pizza boy," Kyle yelled. I turned around to face him, and someone from across the cafeteria threw a cup of pineapples at me. Well, not pineapples, but pineapple slices at me. I dodged it right as a carton of milk pelted my face. The entire cafeteria erupted into a full-fledged food fight, and I darted out the double doors, bolted down the hallway, and sat in the parking lot crying. I was covered in milk and pieces of leftover cafeteria food, but thankfully, there was no pieces of pineapple. I was okay. My dad pulled up in a birdmobile. "Let's go home," he said, giving me a hug. He didn't care that my crust was covered in food or that his white lab coat was now covered in grease. "Did he get any pineapples on you?" "No," I said. "Good, because pineapples could ruin a pizza," he pointed out. I clicked on my seatbelt and stared out the window. "You were right, Dad. They thought I was a freak." "Oh, son, you're not a freak. You're special." Now, I haven't been to a lot of places, but one thing I know is this. When a parent tells you that you're special, it's code name for you're different. And sometimes it's code name for you're weird. I don't want to be weird. I just want to be normal. I came home and I cried, and then I cried all night. And I never went back to school. My dad continued to homeschool me. And that next day, he gave me an award for being the best in class. It was the first of many, many awards that I would win at the Dr. Repugno's Academy of Excellence. I also got congratulations on your immune system, which at most schools I think is called Perfect Attendance Award. Oh, and I won the Athlete of the Year, even though I don't play sports. And my dad bought me a trophy case, which is about as awkward as it sounds. I have a giant case filled with trophies that I never actually won in any significant competition. But I remained in our lair for the next 4 years, scared of having my thin crust crushed and terrified of being known as a weirdo. I never thought I would go back into town. I figured I would spend the rest of my life as a lab assistant for a not really that mad scientist. And eventually I would take over the birdhouse business. I mean, it's not that exciting, but it's safe, I guess, and maybe that's the goal. But all of that was about to change on an epic day that would culminate on a night that will be forever known as Pizza Night. And that's where our story begins. On a normal Friday morning that sent me into one of the wildest adventures imaginable. Now, I didn't wake up this morning planning to leave the lair. I figured I'd read a book or maybe play some video games, nonviolent ones, of course, and ones that don't cause too much stress, which is why we only have Tetris. It's a game where you stack blocks and watch them disappear. I guess it was like really cool way, way, way back in the day, but it's not that cool. I walked into the kitchen and poured myself a bowl of Parmesan cheese and waited for my dad to walk in. But nothing happened. "Dad, are you there?" Nothing. "Well, he must be in his lab," I muttered. "Sometimes he gets so into birdhouses he blocks out everything else." After guzzling a glass of ranch dressing, I sauntered down the hallway and into his lab. But again, he wasn't there. "Hey, Dad, where are you?" Still nothing. I ran upstairs and looked all around. Dad, where are you? I'm a little too old for hide and seek. Where are you? Come on, this isn't funny." No answer. He didn't leave a note or anything. He was just gone. I called his cell phone, but all I heard was a loud machine humming, almost like a kitchen appliance. Was he at a bakery or something? I called him again, and it went straight to his voicemail. "I'm sure he's just at the store. We probably ran out of peppers or something," I muttered. "Maybe I need some, like, chili flakes. Man, that's it. We're almost out of chili flakes. Or Parmesan. Like, maybe he's getting some special Parmesan cheese for..." No. None of this made sense. Our kitchen was fully stocked with groceries. I had jars and jars of ranch dressing. This didn't make any sense. An hour went by, and he still wasn't there. "Maybe he's gone on a bird-watching expedition," I thought. But that wasn't like him either. He always left notes and notes explaining his notes and notes explaining the order of his notes, and then a note explaining the note for a note and the nomenclature of the notes and then a taxonomy and a list of peer-reviewed references explaining his previous note. It's a lot of notes. There was nothing this time. Another hour passed. I've got to find him. He's probably in danger. "No, I can't do this. No way. People are brutal to pizzas. I should just stay at home." I imagine myself going into town. Then I picture the townspeople lobbing objects at my fragile, thin crust and calling me grease face and stepping away from me when I stood on the sidewalk because I smell like cheese. "Just stay at home, Tony." I called his cell phone, and again, it went straight to his voicemail. Then it hit me. Someone kidnapped him. He didn't run away. Someone had taken him to use his evil genius. They were probably going to probe his mind in order to create some diabolical weapon to use against the city. To be honest, I didn't care about the city. I mean, people were mean. I learned that at school, but this was different. I mean, I cared about my dad. He was the only person who had always loved me, and I had to find him. I looked in the mirror and took a deep breath. "Okay, Tony. You can do it. You'll be fine." But the truth is, I was terrified. I adjusted the stray strands of cheese from my face and gave a grimace that was meant to look tough, but it didn't look tough. I was scared. "Whew, okay, I can do this. I can do this." I flexed my cheesy muscles, but they just jiggled and wobbled. This wasn't helping at all. Whew, another deep breath. "You got this." I opened the door and stepped into the glaring sunlight. It was so bright compared to our lair. I headed down our crooked driveway, shouting his name. Maybe he was doing yard work or something. Dad, you there? You there, Dad? Dr. Repugno. Nothing. When he didn't answer, I started calling him by his entire name. Dr. Calvin Leslie Repugno. Still nothing. I had no other option. I needed to go into town.